looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Stores, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
So let's start with the news of the day here on the Baseball Reporters, okay? That's what we're going to do. We are going to start with the news of the day, which concerns the American League East and a team that made a trade, and it was not the Red Sox. The New York Yankees acquired Jay Happ from the Toronto Blue Jays for a pair of players. I was going to say minor leaguers, but the third baseman, what's his name again? Drury. I want to call him Chris Drury, but that's a hockey player.
It is. Hold on a sec. Brandon Drury.
Brandon Drury, the third baseman, and McMillan, the outfielder, I think.
Bill McKinney.
It's the same idea, Murray.
Of course, Billy McMillan, a former pinch hitter for the Miami Marlins.
There you go. Jimmy remembers the name. Very good, Jimmy.
Low ball, too.
617-779-0985. So, again, we'll get the news out of the way. The Yankees made another trade today. And this one shouldn't surprise you. This one's been rumored for a long time. The starting pitcher market at this deadline is thin. There aren't a lot of good starting pitchers available. So Jay Happ was rumored to be an obvious choice of the Yankees for a long time. This one's been going back over a couple of months. And Happ was an easy guy to see who was going to be on the market. He goes to the Yankees today. And Murray, you had earlier, and I'm sorry for springing this on you, but you had earlier Happ's career numbers, or his numbers against the Red Sox, basically in the last 4 years. Do you have those in front of you?
I do not, but give me one moment, Maz.
Okay, so no problem. So Jay Happ, left-handed starter, 6'5". Years ago, he came up with the Philadelphia Phillies, and at the time, I thought this guy was going to be pretty good. He didn't live up to what I thought he was going to be. Nonetheless, he's 20 games over 500 for his career. He's got an ERA just over 4. He won 20 games a few years ago. I think he was a candidate for the Cy Young Award that year. Had a fabulous year, and I always sort of thought he was kind of a cheaper knockoff version of Cole Hamels, you know, that kind of pitcher. And there are times where he's good. There are times where he throws sneaky hard, and he can be good.
So here's his numbers against the Red Sox since 2015. In 10 starts, an earned run average of 178. The Red Sox batting average against him, 202, and his strikeout-to-walk ratio, 45-18.
What was the one loss record again?
I just had the ERA.
What was it?
178.
178 ERA against the Red Sox over the last 4 years. So I'll tell you what. Here's where we're going to start tonight, because, again, I want to get to the Nathan Eovaldi and Zach Britton trades, one of which the Red Sox made, one of which they did not. But given the Happ deal, all the events here of the last 48 hours, because I missed last night. Murray, did you fill in for me last night?
I did.
Well, thank you for doing that.
My pleasure.
Okay, so I wasn't sure it was you.
It was mostly 30 minutes of crapping on Dave Dombrowski.
Okay, so we're going to get to that too, by the way. That's on the list also. But when you get to the trade deadline, and we include everything up to this point, the Red Sox have added Steve Pearce and Nathan Eovaldi. The Yankees have added Zach Britton and Jay Happ. Which team got better by the greater margin?
The Yankees, Maz.
Is it close?
No.
Jimmy Stewart, our producer?
Yankees, by a mile.
I mean, I don't think it's even that close. Now, if you want to say the Red Sox made better trades because they didn't give up a lot and they picked up a couple of serviceable role players, maybe. Yeah, that might be true.
Are we talking about role players or impact players? Because the Yankees got impact players.
Okay, so Zach Britton to me feels like the biggest fish in that whole thing. The Red Sox wanted him, or seemingly so. We're discussing that deal with the Orioles a couple of nights ago. In fact,
well, we talked to them.
We talked to them, exactly, Dave Dombrowski. And we'll get to the specifics on Dombrowski in just a second. But a couple of nights ago, while we were on the air on the Baseball Reporters, I started to get the sense that the Red Sox had made a little progress with the Orioles. I tweeted something to that effect, but also put out there that it was still going to come down to whether or not the Red Sox had the talent to outbid other teams. Because I have said consistently all along now, I don't think the Red Sox have much to deal. I don't think there's much that teams want in the Red Sox farm system. And how about this detail? Today, MLB Pipeline, which is, you know, MLB.com's version of the, you know, Baseball America. Okay, they rate the top 100 prospects in the game over various points in time. Typically, there's preseason, midseason, end of season. Okay? The Red Sox had two prospects in the top 100 at the beginning of the year. Jay Groom, Michael Chavis. Groom's out with an elbow injury. Chavis got popped for PEDs. The midseason top 100 prospects in baseball came out today. And do you know what team? What team was the only team to not have a player listed in the top 100? Any guesses? Anybody? Take a stab in the dark.
I'm guessing the Red Sox, Maz.
Boom.
There it is.
The Red Sox are the only team in baseball without a prospect in the top 100. The only team. So again, by an objective viewpoint, someone says the Red Sox have the worst collection of prospects in the game because they couldn't even crack the top 100. Couldn't crack the top 100. So, the other night, the Red Sox miss out on Zach Britton. The Yankees give up a couple of decent prospects. The Red Sox, I'm guessing, did not offer much there in the way of prospects at all. The Orioles made an easy decision and sent Britton to the New York Yankees. That move in and of itself, to me, is a swing in the American League East. And I don't mean that it puts the Yankees over the top. I'm just telling you, whatever gap there was, the Red Sox got a little worse and the Yankees got a little better. Because had Britton come here, ooh, that would have been a big blow to the Yankees. Remember, going into that night, the Red Sox led by six. That night, the Red Sox lost, the Yankees won, and the Yankees got Britton. That could be one of those nights we look back on and say the American League East changed. Then the next morning, the Red Sox traded for Nathan Eovaldi from the Tampa Bay Rays. And if you had Eovaldi on your list of guys that you wanted the Red Sox to get this July, you're lying. Nobody had him on that list. Unless you believe Dave Dombrowski, whose exchange with the media after the Eovaldi trade went like this.
Well, we talked to them. And I guess that's all I would say. I mean, I think some of the part of it, we really like this fit for us.
Jimmy, can we start for a second? Up to that point, by the way, Dombrowski is talking about the Orioles and Zach Britton. Okay, we talked to them, meaning we talked to the Orioles, and then we like this fit for us. He's talking about Nathan Eovaldi. Continue.
Did you say if you felt like you had the power to make that trade?
Yes, we did.
So you say you like the Eovaldi. Did you feel kind of like that this was the priority, the getting the starter over the
We thought, well, I mean, I don't mean to downplay because he's a very good pitcher, but for us, we think the fit was better to get someone like this.
So now, look, when Dombrowski says we think the fit was better to get someone like this, if you factor in salary, if you factor in what the Red Sox gave up, maybe the fit was better. Meaning, Eovaldi was cheaper. The Red Sox gave up less in the way of talent than they would have for Britton. And they didn't have to take on as much money. Eovaldi's only making $2 million. So there's what, a third of that left? They're going to pay him $600,000, $650,000, something of the like this season. I mean, it's an absurdly low number that they're going to pay Eovaldi. And they give up Jalen Beeks, who frankly looks about as ordinary can be. Jalen Beeks to me is not a prospect. Okay, he's just a guy. In fact, I've seen a million pitchers that are better than Jalen Beeks, some of whom never even got close to the big leagues. Beeks has got nothing, if you ask me. Just my 2 cents. So why did the Rays take the deal? Why not? They were going to let Eovaldi go anyway. They take a shot. We'll see what happens. And also, the fact that they took Beeks should tell you that there probably wasn't a great market for Eovaldi. In and of itself, is Eovaldi a bad pickup? No. He might help the Red Sox. It's not a bad move.
But he's really nothing more than depth, let's be honest.
But Dombrowski's mistake is to try to compare Eovaldi to Britton, somehow suggesting that they could have made the Britton deal, but this was better for them. That's how he's trying to spin it, even if that's not what he exactly means. And again, listen to how quickly he answers when he is asked if he thought the Red Sox had the artillery to make the deal for Britton?
You say if you felt like you had the power to make that trade if
yes,
you wanted
we did.
To?
Yes, we did.
I mean, yes, we did. you can't even get the question out. Yes, we
power
did.
To make that trade if
yes, we did.
To.
Yeah. Yes, we did.
I mean, he cuts him off.
He wasn't even finished.
No, he wasn't. Because, yep, he's getting tired of hearing that the Red Sox don't have the talent in the minor leagues to make a deal. Okay? And I'm telling you that relative to other teams, they do. They lack the talent. Whether or not they will admit that, I don't know. But it doesn't matter whether they have a couple of players down there or not. It's relative to everyone else. No matter what they can bid, someone else can outbid them. That's the point. They don't have a lot of talent down there. Okay, so if they get into a bidding war for a player, they're going to lose. They're going to lose, and they did lose on Britton. Now, look, it might end up being a good thing. None of us knows what's going to happen in September. None of us knows what's going to happen in October. Maybe Britton will choke. It's not inconceivable. But the idea that this is what the Red Sox wanted, please, and before we go to break, let me just add this. My understanding is that when the Red Sox spoke with the Orioles, they made it clear that Britton would put them over the luxury tax. Okay? And as a result, Britton, from a salary standpoint, would cost the Red Sox more than he would cost other teams like the Yankees. Therefore, the Red Sox logic was, we can't give up as much in a trade because we have to pay more money. And if I'm the Orioles, you know what I do? And you know what I think they did? They looked at the Red Sox and said, why should your financial situation be our problem? It isn't. So you know what? We have to take the best players. What you have to pay the guy, if that's limiting what you can offer, well, too bad for you. We have to get what we can get for him. And they sent him to New York. I see a number of you lined up. I promise. I was out yesterday. I wanted to get all of that off my chest. There was also a disagreement between the Red Sox and the Orioles last night in Baltimore concerning that complete debacle and the rainout of that game that will now result in a makeup later in the season, but probably deprive the Red Sox of a win. I'll tell you who was right and who was wrong, and you might be surprised. We'll do that next.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Get right to your phone calls again. I had to catch up from last night, so thank you for indulging me in the first segment of the program. Josh is in Haverhill. Josh, what do you got, pal?
Hey, Maz and Murray. I switched over to the Red Sox now. I was talking a lot of crap about them. I think their lineup, if they produce as well as they did in the first half, they're gonna win the division. And you know, obviously, we can all agree that it's gonna be Red Sox, Indians, Astros, and Yankees. So it looks like Red Sox and Yankees are going to be playing that ALDS, and you know they just got Britton. I don't think he would have performed well here. You know, not saying like I would have taken Eovaldi over him, but you know Beeks was nothing. Get rid of Beeks.
Yeah. So Josh, listen. Don't worry about the Eovaldi trade in and of itself. I don't think the Red Sox made a bad deal there. I'm just telling you that I think overall. That if you were to weigh it out, and this is the question I would ask you as a Red Sox fan tonight, if you're driving home or whatever, just whose moves do you like better at the deadline? And don't factor in what the teams gave up or how much salary they took on. I'm just asking you, in 2018, in the context of the deadline, the Red Sox and the Yankees, hell, throw Cleveland in there if you want. And you want to throw Houston in there, that's fine too. The Astros picked up a catcher today from the Angels, Maldonado. Okay, so when you add all that up and you look at the teams at the deadline, Cleveland, New York, Boston, Houston, those four that the caller mentioned, who improved the most, who improved the least? And if you want to boil it down to just Red Sox, Yankees, that's fine too. I think head-to-head, the Yankees improved by more than the Red Sox did. And honestly, I don't think it's that close. Now, the Yankees are behind, so you could argue they had more ground to make up. I would then put Cleveland ahead of the Red Sox. I think Cleveland has improved by more than the Red Sox did. The Red Sox I'd put ahead of the Astros. The small moves they made, the Steve Pierce move the Red Sox made, if you remember, I liked that one out of the gate. I liked it from the beginning. Mike's in Lowell. Mike, what do you got?
Tony, how you doing?
Good.
I've been listening to you for a long time, but I had to call in because you're driving me crazy.
It's okay, go.
First thing, I want you to name one player that Dombrowski traded that has panned out for any of those teams.
Travis Shaw.
San Diego, Milwaukee. Name one player.
Travis Shaw, Milwaukee.
He wasn't in the minors. He was an everyday player.
Oh, so he doesn't count?
No, he doesn't, because you're sitting on, excuse me, you're crapping on the minor league system.
Okay.
Name one player.
So, Mike, do you think that all those guys have hit their ceilings and that it's over?
Yes.
So you think that's it? See,
They came out right away. For example, Benintendi, Betts, Bogarts, Devers. Right? Then if you want to go to your favorite team, the Yankees.
Wait a minute. Are you saying all those guys? All those guys?
Right away.
All right. You know what? If you're just going to flap your guns the whole time, there's no point in it. So let me ask you a question. Are you saying all those guys that came up at the Red Sox played great at the beginning that you just mentioned? Is that what your point is? Yeah, Mike, all the guys that the Red Sox brought up that you mentioned, are you saying they were all good players at the beginning?
Yes.
Okay. Was Bogarts really that good at the beginning?
He had a little... they moved to the leagues pretty quick, right? And they're contributing. They're studs pretty much, right? Betts, Benintendi, Bogarts. They're very good players.
Okay, I would never call Bogarts a stud up to now. Look, I disagree with you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for disagreeing with you. I also don't think that the verdict on those trades is necessarily done. I'm not sure that Yoan Moncada is always going to be what he is right now. Are you? You're ready to write that one off? Because I'm not. And I have never dumped on the sale deal. That aside, nobody had an issue with the sale deal. But Dave Dombrowski also gave up a truckload of prospects in the deals he made. And more importantly, he didn't replace them. So if you want, I'll tell you what, I'll even give you that he hasn't traded away a prospect yet that has really bitten him in the ass. I'll give you that one. The fact is, they don't have ones to deal now because he hasn't replaced them. So again, how do you go from being a top 10 minor league talent, minor league organization baseball, and I'm wording that very poorly, how do you go from being one of the best player development systems to one of the worst in a span of like 2 or 3 years? How does that happen? And the answer, by trading away everything you had in there and not replacing it. And I would go so far as to tell you that in a lot of cases, I don't think the Red Sox made great deals. Thornburg, that hasn't panned out. Carson Smith, that hasn't panned out. Which one am I leaving out? There's another one they made recently that also wasn't a great deal. Pomeranz. And I know he had a good year last year. Is Drew Pomeranz really worth giving up your best pitching prospect?
No.
Let's go back and look at that now. If Drew Pomeranz were on the market, would you give up Brian Mata for him? I mean, stop. You know, the idea that Anderson Espinosa didn't pan out, he's been hurt. Admittedly, he hasn't. Is his career over? I don't think it is. Vinny's in the car. Vinny, go ahead.
Maz, I mean, thank God I don't work for you. I mean, Dombrowski.
Vinny, I'm the devil.
He's in first place. I mean, the guy's doing everything you paid him to do. I mean, they have the best record in baseball. I don't give a crap about their farm system right now. I will next year, but
okay,
I don't care right now.
So, Vinny, when you're
a hero, go ahead.
When you say that Dombrowski's doing everything you paid him to do, what did you bring him in to do?
To win. And you know what? We're winning right now.
To win?
Dombrowski. They should put a statue up of him.
To win what?
What, to throw stuff at?
To win a World Series, exactly, and they haven't won one yet. So I don't understand how you can champion this guy as some sort of great executive. They've gotten to the postseason twice and gone 1-6. And if you go back to his time in Detroit, he spent how many years with the Tigers? 13? 12? Never won a World Series. And if you include his final years in Detroit, his teams are 1-11 in the last 12 playoff games. So when you say they brought him in to do exactly what he's done, what's he done? The core of the team was in place when he got here. He bought Price and traded for Sale. He made some good moves at the big league level, but some obvious ones that in the case of the Sale deal, was he responsible for either one of the prospects that got him Chris Sale? He didn't draft those guys. Like, I feel like Dombrowski gets way too much credit. Way too much. Oh, my gosh. People that get upset about the criticism of Dave Dombrowski. He's won one championship in his career. It happened 21 years ago. John is in Andover. Go ahead, John.
Naz, what's going on? Hey, how many times are we going to talk about, you know, this weekend or this series, you know, it's pivotal, we're going to remember this series. Naz, how many times have you done that this year?
I don't think I've done it all that many times. Murray, do you think have I done that all that many times?
But can you remember when you did it?
John, what's your point? Well, I just said that Zach Britton...
My point is you need to... Naz, you can say that all year long. I know you need to fill the airwaves every day. I feel bad for you. You got to do this every single day.
Don't feel bad. It's not that tough a job.
You can't even remember what series you said that about. But this was the pivotal one. The Yankees win the game when they're down 6, and this is what we're going to remember in October. You don't remember this, Naz. Come on.
Okay. I never said that there was a pivotal series. I just said that the series with the Yankees, the head-to-head ones, I remember saying could mean a lot because I think those head-to-head games could decide the division, and they could. So I don't see what's wrong about that. And what I said was the other night, the night that the Red Sox were up 6 going into the night, they lost, the Yankees won, and the Yankees got Britton. If the Yankees come back to win the division, we will look at that night and say, oh, that was a big night. That was a big night. That's all I said. All these other pivotal nights that you claim I cited, I never cited them. In fact, I've done quite the opposite. I've told you, I just hate being accused of saying things I didn't say and doing things I didn't do. There's nothing I hate more. I've done the opposite this year. I've told you that all they've done is play dog crap every night. Look at the schedule of late. Have you seen the succession of absolute bums that they've played in the last 3 weeks? Seriously, who have they played? Kansas City, Texas, Detroit, Baltimore, and there was some other absolute sack of doorknobs in there that I don't remember. It's just been one pile of crap after the next, and now you have the Twins in. So this is another pivotal one? You think I'm going to be dumb enough to call this a pivotal weekend?
No, you're right. This whole month's been useless for the most part. Finally, you get some games next week against the Phillies and the Yankees.
Look, I want to make this part clear. Okay, I don't hate the Eovaldi deal. I don't. I actually think on its face, it's a good trade. You get yourself a big league pitcher there, and you gave up a kid that I think stinks in Beeks, and you didn't take on any money. See, even if Eovaldi's not very good, you didn't give up anything. No problem. But for Dave Dombrowski to sit there and say, oh, we could have had Britton, but this is a better fit? Come on. You really buy that? I mean, if you buy that, you're more gullible than I thought.
Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There was also that whole calamity of that rain out in Baltimore last night. We'll get to the particulars on that. I'll give you my thoughts as to who screwed up. Tom's in a car. Tom, what's up?
Hey, Maz. First of all, you got to get it in your contract that when you're not around, the other guys are not allowed to talk baseball, because that was painful to listen to yesterday.
Well, that's not true. No. But go ahead. I mean, there are many people I'd pick over Murray doing this when I'm not here. But go ahead.
Hey, you're in the same room with them, so I get it. I think Sox fans should be, tell me if this makes sense, more upset that they didn't get Britton than the fact that the Yankees did. The Yankees already have a stacked bullpen. I mean, there's between Green, Betances, Robertson, and Chapman. I mean, they're already loaded. I know those guys are all righties. So I'm not so worried about the Yankees getting him as much as I am about them getting Hap. The real problem is that the Red Sox didn't. And I don't know if you saw, but Joakim Soria also moved today. So that's another arm off the market that the Red Sox could have got. And I don't think he went for much. So looking forward, who do you think they are going to bring in to this bullpen? Because there's no way, I don't think, they're going to leave it as it is.
Well, so Tom, I think they're going to make another move too. I just honestly, I don't know what they're going to be able to get. All the guys that have moved, the thing that's worrisome to me about the guys that have moved is that they're rentals. The price was going to be higher. I mean, Brad Hand's not a rental, so I take that one back. Hand has like 3 or 4 years left in his contract. He went to Cleveland. He was the most expensive. But Kelvin Herrera, Zach Britton, now Soria, as you mentioned, all these guys are rentals. The price for these guys is going to be less than, let's say, you know, Raisel Iglesias with the Cincinnati Reds, if he moves at all, and he may not move. Those guys may not go anywhere. So I'm concerned that if anyone else does go, the price is going up, unless you're talking about Fernando Rodney or someone of the like. But I don't love Rodney either. I wanted someone younger, better, more reliable than some 41-year-old right-hander who's been around with a million teams. Now, again, if they get him for nothing, sure, take a shot. But it doesn't really change my opinion of their bullpen if they get Rodney. I don't trust him either. I don't think Rodney's that kind of guy. I think they needed a dominant reliever. Blair's in Maine. Hi, Blair.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, just don't let the fans get to you, because we got a great team on our hands. Boston Red Sox got a great team. So looking at J.D. Martinez, you can't get a better player than J.D. Martinez, right? You could get Chris Sale as a pitcher. We already have him.
Yeah, so Blair, well, go ahead. What's your point tonight?
Well, my point is J.D. Martinez, I hope we lock him for a couple more seasons because he's a great hitter. But what do you think about J.D. Martinez? Can I get your thoughts on him?
Oh, listen, I couldn't have been more wrong about J.D. Martinez. I mean, I couldn't have been more wrong, really. And I say that with all the honesty and sincerity in the world. I missed by a mile. More. I thought it was a bad decision to sign him and hang in there and, you know, wait and maybe even offer him more money. They got him for what was an extremely affordable contract in this market, and he's been the best hitter in the game. If he's second best, it's because Mookie's number one. So they hit a grand slam there. He can opt out after next season. Would I go to him now and try to, you know, eliminate that opt-out, lock him up for longer? Believe it or not, no. Wait it out. Because part of what drives this guy is that nobody believes in him. He's got a chip on his shoulder. Just quickly, let me squeeze in Vin, because I want to get to that rainout last night. Vin, go ahead.
Hey, Tony. I think you're being a little bit unfair to Dave Dombrowski when you say that he dismantled a top 10 farm system. I think there's a reason why that's the case. You know, first of all, a lot of those top 10 prospects from your top 10 system are now in the major leagues. You got Mookie Betts, Rafael Devers, Andrew Benintendi, Xander Bogaerts. And then a lot of those other prospects were dealt to get us Chris Sale, get us Craig Kimbrell, get us Drew Pomeranz, get us some of the key contributors that are making us the best team in baseball right now. You know, and Dombrowski said that there's some players coming up in A-ball that maybe aren't projecting to be top 100 prospects yet, but will. So I think there's just a lag here that we're kind of going through. You know, the previous regime wouldn't deal anybody, which is the reason why we were top 10 in the first place, I think.
Okay, so Vin, Ben Cherington went the other way. He went too far. He wouldn't make a deal. He was gun-shy. I mean, you know, Theo was the perfect blend. And if you want to talk about the biggest mistakes the Red Sox have made in their history, Theo Epstein's on the list. I didn't say he was number one, but he's on the list. What a mistake. As for Dombrowski, Betts, Bogaerts, those guys were already in the big leagues when he got here. So was Bradley. Okay, so those guys are big league players. Benintendi came up in 2016. So you want to say that Dombrowski elevated him to the big leagues? Fine. But he was drafted by Cherington before that. Okay, that was not a Dombrowski pick. So now, the trades? Sure. Again, I've never lamented the Chris Sale deal. And yes, he's traded some prospects, and Kimbrel was a good deal too. But he's made some bad ones. And more importantly, he's also, I think in some cases, given up way too much. Like in retrospect, when you look at that Tyler Thornburg deal, he gave up a ton. He gave up four players for Tyler Thornburg. And so now look, Thornburg got hurt. Well, you can say that's bad luck. Fine. He's still overpaid. He overpaid for Drew Pomeranz. And when you repeatedly overpay and you don't replace them, you're going to have a dearth of talent in your system. Also, the whole idea of having prospects at A-ball, everybody has prospects at A-ball. Well, we don't have top 100 prospects now, but they project to be. Well, great. I mean, every team has young players that project to be. They all like their last two drafts. They all do. Double A, you got to see it at double A. Double A is when you really start to know. Okay? And if a guy doesn't do it at double A, he's not a prospect. If he does, he is. That's sort of the make or break spot. Now, I said last night, I want to play this because Alex Cora, the manager, was asked about this again today before the game at Fenway against the Twins. Last night, the Red Sox had a 5-0 lead in the second inning. The game ended up getting rained out. And honestly, I don't think that that's really what the Red Sox were pissed about, that they lost a win. I think they were upset that the game got played at all. So David Price went out, pitched an inning. He's now burned. He won't be able to go till Monday. And had the game been played, the Red Sox would have been in a tough spot because Price would not have been able to go back out there at 10:30 or 11 o'clock. And then they would have had to use their relief course. So maybe they caught a break there. But this is kind of a long answer, and we're going to play it all for you. Here's the exchange with Cora before tonight's game.
Not to belabor the point, that was the second time that it happened, that series, where they started, played very little of the game, and had a delay. Would you guys have been okay with maybe sitting for three and a half hours and then starting at 10?
Yeah, because the first day they mentioned something, that something popped up and it was going to take for like 10 minutes. They just didn't know when it was coming. And just having that came in with two outs in the top of the first. Yesterday, from 6 o'clock to 6:45, I was like, not today. We can't have this today. They decided to start the game, and then that happened. And you put the whole team in a tough situation. We talk about the lead, but if we would have played at 10:30, 10:45, probably we had no bullpen for today. And that's what you run into. It's not, you lose the starter, first of all, and then you have to burn your bullpen to try to get 24 outs. Then you have four-game series against a team that is swinging the bat well, and you have to stay away from certain guys, and that's when decisions start. You have to send people down that you don't want to, but you have to. It can mess up your weekend. Let's see it on the positive side. We didn't use the bullpen. We're good today, and we move on.
So, again, even Cora knows they might have caught a break by having the game postponed at 10:30 because, again, at that point, it's a bullpen game. So they caught a break there. What he's saying, though, is the game never should have started. That's what he's saying. And I agree with him, by the way. I told you this earlier. Believe it or not, I'm with the Red Sox on this one. The game never should have started. The Orioles knew they didn't have enough time to get five innings in. They knew. And they started the game anyway. And they knew that it was going to be a 2.5-3 hour delay behind that. So they shouldn't have started the game at all. They should have banged the game at 7 o'clock and that's it, and been done with it. Wouldn't have been the first time they canceled the game with a rainstorm 30 minutes outside of the stadium. It happens all the time. It's not anything that crazy. Okay, so they could easily have done that. They did not. Now, the Red Sox whined about it after the game, and what Cora should do is come to the realization, and maybe this happened to him on the flight. You know what? In retrospect, we caught a break. Because had they made us go back out there at 10:30, 10:45, we would have burned our bullpen, and then we have four games with the Twins and two more with the Phillies before the Yankees come in. So they would have been able to get their pitching squared away by the time New York comes in, but it would have messed them up there for a couple of days. So they probably caught a break from that standpoint.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.